WZH910 AM, W245CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. More troops headed for Los Angeles on orders of President Trump amid protests over immigration policies, including hundreds of active duty Marines plus thousands of National Guard troops ordered by the president. California Governor Gavin Newsom.
I have 394 National Guard men and women down at the border. I imagine they may even be pulled for this theatrical display.
The president.
He should only be happy I sent in the military, because if I didn't send them in, you would have had a problem there, the likes of which we haven't seen in a long time.
Firing every member of a scientific committee that advises the CDC on vaccines, Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Russia following up on Sunday's and Monday's huge drone attacks with another one overnight. Ukraine says over 300 were launched. Israel deported activist Greta Thunberg, says the country's foreign ministry, a day after the Gaza-bound ship she was on was seized by the Israeli military. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Lilo and Stitch is still the box office champ. The biggest hit of the summer so far pulled in $32 million last weekend and is now pushing $800 million globally at the box office. The film is showing some great gams with only a 50% drop despite being in its third week of release. The number two spot goes to From the World of John Wick, Ballerina, which brought in a less than expected $26 million in its opening weekend and $51 million globally. The eighth installment of Mission Impossible saw only a 45% drop in its third week of release. Final Reckoning is currently at $450 million globally. Karate Kid Legends brought in $8.5 million to come in fourth place, and gruesome horror film Final Destination Bloodlines continues to show incredible staying power by coming in fifth place and pulling in $6.5 million in its fourth week. The film has now pulled in $250 million worldwide. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Packers at practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the Packers begin their three-day minicamp, but without Jaire Alexander, the team releasing the veteran defensive back after failing to come to terms with the new agreement. Packers president Mark Murphy.
Well, first of all, he's been a great player for us. Obviously, elite talent. You know, unfortunately, just injured a lot. And, you know, it's kind of, unfortunately, that's a big part of our game.
Baseball, the Brewers and Braves series continues tonight in Milwaukee. The Brewers losing last night 7-1 after 15 batters struck out, 11 by Braves starter Chris Sale. D.L. Hall on watching Sale perform on the mound.
Oh, it's incredible. You know, somebody to watch and learn from. He's been doing it for a long time, so it's always fun to watch him and learn some stuff.
What stands out to you about a guy like that?
Oh, man, just the longevity and how long he's been really good and doing what he did tonight.
That's Brewers pitcher D.L. Hall with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on this show, he hosts the Todd Alba Show, appropriately named, from 2 to 4 across the network. Todd Alba joins us after 9:30. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a little more of that hazy smoke from those Canadian wildfires. Our high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy, still hazy, smoky, low in the low 50s. Tomorrow, sunshine in the mid to upper 70s with a few showers tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
The Todd Alba Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin. It is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided. We've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and makes great cookies and probably yes. has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we're just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch the Todd Alba Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller joins me to talk new movies. Then producer, director, editor, and Wisconsinology founder Frank Anderson joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Well, it was kind of chilly yesterday, and today the temperatures start turning around. Welcome in, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. We'll catch up with Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, and weather details in about 15 minutes. Suffice it to say that we'll see sunshine on the way today. 76 are expected high. Winds maybe still a little noticeable out of the west, 5 to 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow, chance of showers, probably late in the afternoon. Otherwise, a sunny Wednesday on the way and 85, and then more rain in the forecast for Thursday. Like I said, Stu will paint us the picture in about 15 minutes. Do you like rhubarb? There are some Wisconsin farmers that certainly hope you do. This cooler weather has really given our rhubarb crop this year shot in the arm. We're going to hear a little bit about that. Yesterday, a record-breaking number of FFA members involved in the day of service. Our Midwest Farm Report team was along with them. You'll hear some reaction. And John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, giving us an update on what the markets are talking about this morning. We'll bundle it all up for you, put a bow on it, and get started next.
Hey, got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Sustainability is one of those words that comes up often and means a lot of different things. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire. And I get to chat with Andy Benson. He farms a lot of acres in Barron and Dunn counties, part of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation Sustainability Committee. I always like to learn a little bit more about the mission and the goals of this new committee.
The Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation has long been interested in and supportive of our efforts in conservation and sustainability in the state of Wisconsin, especially among our rural farmers and rural residents. For me, sustainability goes back quite a few years, several decades actually. I come from a strong family background of conservation, and so the practices that my grandfather and my father and now my own farming operation entail led us to really try to be pioneers in that space. The American Society of Agronomy some years back established a sustainability protocol or certification program, much like the Certified Crop Advisor program. And really the first I was entrenched in some of those precepts was in the effort working with them on designing that course of study for people that wanted to get themselves certified in sustainability.
So from that start of getting people certified in the sustainability, what are some of the other things that you are bringing to this committee?
Okay, well, to define sustainability really, in my estimation, means a very simple thing. It means, can we do what we're doing today as long as we want to without taking anything away from future generations' ability to live and to thrive and to farm and to operate? I bring that background then to this group of people, having a fairly large cash grain operation, trying to send a message to the people that are in the audience at Farm Bureau and our legislators that sustainability doesn't mean small rural residents who might have two horses and three beef cows and 25 chickens. It really extends to our mainstream agriculture. And being able to, again, operate in a way, even at that scale, that builds and improves our resources for the future and doesn't take anything away from the opportunity for our following generations to operate.
Visiting with Andy Benson, he works a lot of acres up in that barren Don County area. Tell me about your operation. Let's start out with how big you are and what you plant.
We're a cash grain operation. We don't have any livestock, but we use a lot of manure in our row crops. We're growing corn, we're growing soybeans, we're growing winter wheat, and in the past, when the opportunities are there, we'll grow alfalfa, or sometimes we've grown corn silage for the dairies. Our operation has been 100% no-till since about 1988. It has grown from very meager beginnings. Currently, we do use a strip-till approach on our corn ground. We like to get the phosphorus and the fertilizers off the surface and get them below the surface where they're protected from either soluble phosphorus or, and certainly, if we can protect ourselves from erosion, we eliminate any particulate phosphorus. That's phosphorus that's attached to soil particles.
And taking care of that land definitely is a process. What are some of those organizations that you are involved in that have helped you to learn more about taking care of the land?
Well, some years ago, our state of Wisconsin initiated some funding to help establish farmer-led watershed groups. And we were one of the earliest farmer-led watershed groups here in Barron County called the Farmers of Barron County Watersheds. And that organization, small grassroots, relatively small number of farmers in the immediate geographic area that I farm, work on demonstration and practices that promote soil and water quality, and promote regenerative practices, things like cover crops and reduced tillage or no tillage, and maybe some unique crop rotations that maybe historically haven't been common. One of the things that we're very, very happy with the results of is incorporating small grains, winter wheat, for example, in my case, into our corn bean rotation.
Having the opportunity to plant and get out in those fields right where you are farming, what is the value of that? I mean, it's not coming out of controlled environments or out of a lab. What is the real benefit of seeing how it works right where you are?
We learn best by actually experiencing things firsthand in our own neighborhood. And I can tell you that my neighbors are watching all the time to see what I'm up to, and then a lot of times they will emulate or adapt what I'm doing to their own operation when they see the positive outcomes. So being able to demonstrate things and invite, in our watershed group, for example, to invite those farmers to come and walk the fields and look at what's happening underneath their feet is really the first step in enabling them to go home then and try something similar in their own acres. As farmers, we don't like somebody else to tell us what to do and how to do things, but we have no problem at all copying the successes of our neighbors. And so that's really the beauty of this.
What are some of the other hats that you wear that help you learn more and keep your crops growing?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's a long list, actually. I serve as a board member for the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board. There's also another group that I'm a part of at the American Soybean Association called Conservation Champions. And the Conservation Champions group is past national winners, an award they have called the Conservation Legacy Award. And then there's some other minor things that I'm involved with.
And now I'm going to get you back into your farming. You talked about no-till. You talked about the watersheds. Anything else that you'd like to highlight when it comes to taking care of your soil and that conservation?
I brushed over quickly the fact that we've incorporated cereal grains into our corn-soybean rotation. That particular activity has probably been the one thing that I can see that's had the biggest impact on my own acres. When we get a third crop in our rotation, it allows us to do some things with cover crops that we just can't get done very well with corn and soybeans because of the late harvest and the short growing season we have here in northern Wisconsin. But by getting the wheat or whatever other small grains you have in the rotation harvested in the end of July or the first part of August, we can then grow a legume like medium red clover or tillage radishes or daikon radishes, if you will, or turnips or some other brassicas. We can really begin to make some real impacts on our soil structure. And one of my favorite statements is when you eliminate runoff, the off-target movement of phosphorus, nitrogen, and soil just completely cease to be a problem.
And now talking about those cover crops and taking care of that soil, have you seen a difference when it comes to your soil quality and having to use certain kind of fertilizers or being able to cut back a bit?
We've been able to reduce our nitrogen applications by around 40 pounds per acre. And where we have a good cover crop with clover, we're actually reducing it by 60. I mean, those are real dollars that translate to our bottom line and our profitability in dollars and cents.
Plants growing and be sustainable, keep the ground where it's supposed to be and producing for us. And that was Andy Benson. He's from the Barron, Dunn County area. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
What if it smells terrible?
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off, you know.
And give us a few bucks. Yeah.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings, but there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we take a look at the fast-paced headlines across the nation and state. And a lighter note, Brian Van Hooker from Cracked.com will be here. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
It's been documenting for literally decades that if it rains on Pentecost Sunday, you will usually see rain for the seven following Sundays. Now, that, of course, would include Father's Day Sunday coming up this weekend. Any kind of documentation in the Stu Muck Library that can match that?
That's one I haven't heard yet.
No, me either. But I thought it was worth sharing this morning. So thank you to Charlie from Campbell's Fort for chiming in with us. I mean, right now, it doesn't look like we're going to see much for rain this weekend, but let's not get the cart in front of the horse. What are we looking at today?
Yeah, today's a nice day, but we've got more rain on the way after that. That's the one to watch. Yesterday, everybody had some kind of rain, you know, tenth of an inch, two-tenths of an inch. That was pretty common all over. I see Park Falls had about three-tenths of an inch, and other reports are all on the lighter side. The system has pulled away from us, that cool front, way over in Ohio, down towards southern Illinois, southern Missouri. Radar indicating most of the precipitation way off to the east and south. But then there is just a little light rain way up in northwest Minnesota, northeast North Dakota. Not a big problem for us. Nothing moving in yet, but a frontal boundary will drop in again from the northwest. And our expectation is that that will lead to some rain in western Wisconsin. There's a slight chance of rain late today, more likely a little later Wednesday and Wednesday night when we all see activity. The front sweeps in from the northwest, pushes off to our south, and will mean rain. And that will especially happen already later Wednesday in western and northern Wisconsin, Wednesday evening, Wednesday night in the south, lasting into the day Thursday. Now, southern Wisconsin, southern Minnesota, and northern Iowa, probably the area for heaviest rain, rain amounts up to an inch or even a bit more. But the further you head to the north, and especially northeastern Wisconsin, the rain will be a lot lesser. Not going to be all that much the further you are to the northeast as we head through Wednesday night into Thursday. But then it stays a little unsteady. And unfortunately, I'd have to say that scattered pop-up shower or storm could be around later Thursday night and possibly later Friday night. And then that real slight rain chance could pop up this weekend. Charlie will be watching that for Sunday to make sure it adds up on the calendar. But there is that small possibility. Temperatures warming up tremendously for the day tomorrow until that cool front approaches out of the northwest and then dropping off again Thursday and Friday. Back down to below normal and staying near normal, if you will, on through the weekend. That's probably going to feel like better news. Should add up more growing degree days like we need to see. We'll have our forecast details right after this.
The Classic Green Reunion comes to Wisconsin June 12th through the 14th in West Bend. This year's event showcases Model B and industrial tractors, Waterloo Boy engines, and even drills. Come for the tractors and equipment and stay for the tours, vendors, camaraderie, and a good old-fashioned Wisconsin fish fry. To see event details or to register for tours, visit classicgreen.org. The Classic Green Reunion, June 12th through the 14th in West Bend. See you there.
They say seeing is believing, and nothing catches the eye like the 7 bushel per acre yield advantage of Veltima fungicide over other fungicides. But don't just take our word for it. See it for yourself. Run a comparison of Veltima fungicide. Enter the Real Results Yield Challenge and experience the difference it makes in your fields. And when you share your experience with us, you'll get a chance to win a 2-year lease on a new truck. Sign up at yieldchallenge.basf.us. No purchase necessary. See official rules for details. Always read and follow label directions.
All righty, buddy, let's have that forecast then.
All right, we'll talk about it today. In fact, some clouds this morning, but they will clear out, becoming mostly sunny most places, partly sunny, I'd say, in the south. Not too bad of a day. And temps, in fact, pushing up into the 70s, mid-70s in the south. That's close to normal for this time of the year with a west breeze. Overnight, mostly clear skies, and we drop into the 50s, a few low 60s in the south, and southwest breezes. Mostly sunny Wednesday, that scattered shower developing in the west already during the day, but mostly sunny further east. And here's where temps warm up. Upper 70s in the north, even the 84 point or 85 in southern Wisconsin Wednesday. Rain more likely Wednesday night into Thursday. Like I've said, Pam, a half to an inch in the south and maybe lighter amounts further north and especially the northeast. But we stay cooler with some rain chances yet Thursday, upper 60s and low 70s.
Jeez, that cooler stuff is getting to be a
a theme that I think some folks are getting a little nervous about, Stu.
We'll break that up this weekend. I think we're talking back to normal mid-upper 70s, maybe 80s into early next week. So
all right,
it'll come back.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow then, buddy.
All right, see ya.
Stu Mutker, ag meteorologist with the weather details you're looking for here on the Midwest Farm Report. Remember, talk text line is open, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. Here at Civic Media, we believe radio plays an important role in strengthening our communities by focusing on what is happening here and now. Here's a clip from a recent edition of the Todd Alba Show, where Todd sat down with Alex Madursky from the Nature Conservancy talking conservation in Wisconsin.
We're joined to talk about other conservation issues by Alex Madursky, the Associate Director of Government Relations at the Nature Conservancy. Alex, before to break, introduced a little bit the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund. Former Republican Governor Warren Knowles, former Democratic Governor and U.S. Senator Gaylord Nelson, who started and founded Earth Day. What does this program mean for the state of Wisconsin, and why does it appear to be, if not in danger, certainly a concern right now as we look at the current budget process in Wisconsin?
Well, it means everything. It means a lot. I was thinking about this interview, Todd, today before I joined you to chat. And when we talk about the outdoors, it does everything from protect wildlife species to protect wetlands. It also, for local units of government, does things like create trails, creates parks, helps protect them. You're on a boat launch today. There's a whole sub-program of this Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program that's dedicated to making sure boaters can enjoy that activity. And every acre of land we have at the Nature Conservancy based on this program is open to all nature-based outdoor activities, as we call them, including hunting, fishing, and trapping. And those are such an important part of our state's cultural heritage that I'm glad we can offer that to every Wisconsinite and everyone who wants to visit this state for free. It's a public-private matching grant program, so we don't get this money for free from the state government. We got to show up at the table and explain to the Department of Natural Resources, here's what we think we can do, here's what we think we can protect, and here's what we think people can use. So here's the money we can bring to the table. Can you help us out? The program, I think, is not unique in facing some challenges in the legislature to the extent that that process doesn't always move as smoothly as perhaps most Wisconsinites would ideally like, but that's one reason we continue to go back to the legislature and tout these polls that say 93% of Wisconsinites support the stewardship program.
You've been listening to a portion of the Todd Alba Show. To learn more and to subscribe to the show's podcast, check out the Civic Media website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. More troops headed for Los Angeles on orders of President Trump amid protests over immigration policies, including hundreds of active duty Marines plus thousands of National Guard troops ordered by the president. California Governor Gavin Newsom.
I have 394 National Guard men and women down at the border. I imagine they may even be pulled for this theatrical display.
The president.
He should only be happy I sent in the military, because if I didn't send them in, you would have had a problem there, the likes of which we haven't seen in a long time.
Firing every member of a scientific committee that advises the CDC on vaccines, Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Russia following up on Sunday's and Monday's huge drone attacks with another one overnight. Ukraine says over 300 were launched. Israel deported activist Greta Thunberg, says the country's foreign ministry, a day after the Gaza-bound ship she was on was seized by the Israeli military. This is ABC News.
The Packers at practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the Packers begin their three-day minicamp. But without Jaire Alexander, the team releasing the veteran defensive back after failing to come to terms with a new agreement, Packers president Mark Murphy.
Well, first of all, he's been a great player for us. Obviously, elite talent. You know, unfortunately, just injured a lot. And, you know, it's kind of unfortunately, that's a big part of our game.
Baseball, the Brewers and Braves series continues tonight in Milwaukee. The Brewers losing last night 7-1 after 15 batters struck out, 11 by Braves starter Chris Sale. D.L. Hall on watching Sale perform on the mound.
Oh, it's incredible. You know, somebody to watch and learn from. He's been doing it for a long time, so it's always fun to watch him and learn some stuff.
What stands out to you about a guy like that?
Oh, man, just the longevity and how long he's been really good and doing what he did tonight.
That's Brewers pitcher D.L. Hall. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Civic Media's Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area on what Democrats are talking about ahead of next weekend's big state convention.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a little more of that hazy smoke from those Canadian wildfires. Our high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy, still hazy, smoky, low in the low 50s. Tomorrow, sunshine in the mid to upper 70s with a few showers tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Break yourself free from that desk and come work for Civic Media, a rapidly growing network which has positions open in Park Falls, Hayward, and Amory, Wisconsin that focus on prospecting and new account acquisitions. The ideal candidate will have prior media advertising sales experience and success, reliable transportation, and a connection to the communities in which they would sell. This position pays a base salary plus generous commissions and exceptional additional benefits. To see a full description, go to civicmedia.us and look at careers. Apply at civicmedia.us or send your resume directly to darla.isham@civicmedia.us. Civic Media is an equal opportunity employer that is committed to diversity and inclusion in the workplace.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on Civic Media Radio. We now take you to Matinair on Air with Wisconsin Farmers Union President Darren Von Rudin on the importance of public radio.
What I wanted to bring up really quick is one of the things you brought up as a discussion point was cuts to public radio and NPR. Darren, do you want to speak on that?
Yeah, you know, it's something that I think affects not only farmers, but rural citizens across the country. You know, I hear more and more people that are listening to the programs that public radio offers and national public radio or TV. You know, how do we keep those programs alive? And a lot of that is through public funding. About half of the funding, or a quarter of the funding, to NPR and public radio comes from private donations. So, you know, it's one of those programs that I listen to a lot when I'm driving down the road with all the windshield time that I have. and it has a lot to do with the news source that's there too. It's an independent news source. It's not viable to one particular promoter. You know, at the end of different newscasts, they'll say that one of their sponsors was actually somebody that they were talking about.
Right.
Yeah. What radio stations do you hear that on? You just don't. And so how do you know who's pushing what button that they can report on and what they can't report on, where public radio and public TV, you know, really gets to the source. And most times if the opposite sides want to be on the stage at the same time, that's what they would much rather do. But we're seeing a lot of pushback from the far right saying that it's not a good news source. Well, if you don't show up and talk about your point, you really can't say that. It's like the local tavern affiliate or customer that complains about politics all the time but never goes and votes.
Right. Yes.
You really don't have a right to complain about it if you're not willing to be on the program.
I'm very, very surprised that you and other agriculture producers in Wisconsin are NPR fans. And I think
That helps explain a little bit to me, at least, why they would like to cut funding. Because I think they would much prefer that Wisconsin farmers were listening to different kinds of media outlets.
Yeah, and you know, and certainly nowadays with modern technology, and if you are lucky enough to own some of the modern equipment, you can get Sirius Radio and listen to whatever you want. But there's a whole lot of us that are still farming with tractors from the 80s and 90s and still have AM radios on our dials too yet. So having as many news sources as we can is what we prefer.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
So there is something to be said, even in this transfer portal era.
You know, this weather may seem like it's a little on the cooler side for a lot of our Wisconsin crops, but some are really thriving. You're going to hear from one of our growers in Barneveld about the bumper rhubarb crop he is currently enjoying, and hope you will too. Welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Thanks so much for making us a part of your Tuesday morning. John Heinberg, Market Advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, makes us a part of his Tuesday morning. He'll be joining us live to give you an update on what the conversations are all about in Chicago, focused on our commodities. As we get rolling on a Tuesday morning, it is the 10th day of June. What can I tell you? On this day back in 1935, Alcoholics Anonymous was founded. Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob Smith, they had a mutual aid fellowship that they started to battle alcoholism. Today, the organization is active in a lot of countries around the world. Alcoholics Anonymous started on this day back in 1935. Let's see. On this date, Elizabeth Hurley, actress, celebrating her 60th birthday. And Lily, I'm sure she says Sobieski, where I grew up, it's Sobieski. She is celebrating her 42nd birthday today. And now you know. Well, we've been telling you that this is a busy week for the Midwest Farm Report team. The Wisconsin State FFA convention back at the Alliant Energy Center, officially starting with competitive events today. Yesterday, it was all about helping others and a tremendously successful day of service. Our own Aubrey Schlimgen, as well as our new addition, Kylie Allen, were there.
Wisconsin FFA members kicked off this year's state convention with a day of service. Amelia Hayden, the day of service manager, gives us a look into how 900 FFA members are living to serve.
We're excited to be welcoming 900 student volunteers from across the state of Wisconsin to the Wisconsin FFA Day of Service today. So they'll be volunteering at various offsite locations, helping with community service projects around the local Madison area, as well as building beds and meal packaging.
Awesome. So those offsite locations, what kind of things are students doing?
We have them at a variety of different sites, whether it's helping with outdoors work in various different parks, removing invasive species, planting new trees, as well as volunteering at different community centers, the Ronald McDonald House, and other community service organizations around the Madison area.
So you kind of helped organize this whole thing. As you were telling me earlier, volunteer work is what makes convention go round. So how do you choose those offsite locations?
We start by casting a wide net to a variety of different locations around the Madison area. They can be sites that have partnered with us previously for Day of Service, as well as new sites that we've been directed to. And then whoever comes back with a yes, we'd love to host students, we send a crew of 25 to 30 students out to their location to help them with service projects for the afternoon.
Very good. And then our on-site projects here, there's two of them going on. Can you go ahead and break down what the students are doing?
Yeah, so we have two on-site projects. For the meal packaging event, students will be packaging 100,000 meals to distribute both locally and globally over the course of 5 hours. They'll be packaging those. And then we also have a bed building project where students are building bed frames for children who don't have access to one or don't have a bed at home, and we'll build 60 of those this afternoon as well.
So then how do those beds get distributed?
We partner with an organization called Sleep in Heavenly Peace, and so they'll take the bed frames at the end of the afternoon and help to distribute those across the Madison area.
Very good. And those meals, where are those getting distributed?
With the meals, we are partnering with Meals from the Heartland, and same concept. They are partnering to take the meals we packaged today and distribute them through their networks, both locally and globally.
Members are not only making an impact in the Madison community. This year, the Wisconsin FFA Association added another opportunity to the Day of Service agenda. Aubrey Schlimgen sat down with Scott from Meals of the Heartland.
We are an organization based out of West Des Moines, Iowa. We travel all over the Midwest working with FFA groups. Happy to be in Wisconsin. First time we've been up here in quite a few years from what I've been told. As an organization, we work together and partner with the FFA schools, churches, businesses throughout the Midwest to package anywhere between 20 and 25 million meals a year. Good portion of that goes overseas to feeding initiatives, schools, community outreaches in developing countries, but also a lot of it does stay in the U.S. in the Midwest for community backpack programs, for school lunch programs, as well as disaster relief when in any time that need is actually arises. We do have two different meals today. The one we're packing is a rice and soy based meal, kind of intentionally left blank so you can add your own meat source, whatever flavor you want to add to that. The other one is more of like a walking taco mashed up with like a hamburger helper kind of thing. Gives a little bit of variety.
Absolutely, and that sounds fantastic. And can you talk a little bit about, you know, how many members are actually helping you guys today at the State FFA Convention?
Rough estimate, we have about 450 students and advisors coming through helping us out today. We have three staff members from our organization here to help out and kind of facilitate all that, give direction. And then we also have about five or six volunteers from Cargill, and we also have a handful from John Deere that are in the area as well.
Wisconsin FFA members truly making a positive difference in the lives of others. Kylie Allen and Aubrey Schlimgen covering the Day of Service at the 96th Wisconsin FFA Convention. With the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
The Classic Green Reunion comes to Wisconsin June 12th through the 14th in West Bend. This year's event showcases Model B and industrial tractors, Waterloo Boy engines, and even drills. Come for the tractors and equipment and stay for the tours, vendors, camaraderie, and a good old-fashioned Wisconsin fish fry. To see event details or to register for tours, visit classicgreen.org. The Classic Green Reunion, June 12th through the 14th in West Bend. See you there.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report. Boy, I'll tell you, these cooler temperatures that we've been experiencing on again and off again through May and June, not great for some crops, but wonderful for others. There is a smile on Ed Burr's face. He's the owner-operator of Burr's Berry Patch in Barneveld, but right now he's focused in on harvesting rhubarb. And he says this year has been a fantastic season.
Growth-wise, fantastic. This cool spring is really advantageous to an early season crop. It's been a really good season for rhubarb. I have noticed so few insects this spring. I kind of attribute that to having had an open winter where you had no snow cover. So I think a lot of the insects that overwintered maybe perished because there was really nothing insulating them to help them. Maybe they burrowed into the ground, but the frost and the cold got down into the ground quite a bit this year. So I don't know exactly if that's what's going on, but I would attest that part of it is the rhubarb's growth is really from a lack of insects to damaging the plant.
Ed Burrs from Burrs Berry Patch, currently involved in harvesting rhubarb, a great crop, according to Ed. He's getting about 10 pounds per plant, and they've got about 200 plants, so he's harvesting about 1,000 pounds of rhubarb right now. Something to look forward to if you're a rhubarb enthusiast. We're also getting sporadic reports that Wisconsin's strawberry crop is on the way. Remember, if you want to find out about Wisconsin strawberries, go to wiberries.org and check in with a patch near you. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning, a little bit mixed. Dow Jones Industrial Average right now is lower July corn's down 2, December new crop down 2, right now at 436. The July soybeans are up 2.5, November up a penny at 1031. July wheat currently a down a nickel at 537. Yesterday in Chicago, the 40-pound block cheese gained 2.5 cents, make that 2.25 cents at 188. The AA butter was down 0.5 cent, 255 a pound. July class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 6, currently at 1888. August up a nickel, 1938 a hundredweight. Wisconsin farmers say their crops are doing pretty decent so far. The latest update from the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service showed as of Sunday, 96% of our corn was in the ground, 74% rated good to excellent. 95% of our soybeans are planted, 79% of that crop called good to excellent. Winter wheat seems to be thriving. It right now rated 70% good to excellent. That's up 3 percentage points compared to last week. 98% of the potatoes are in the ground, and all hay conditions reported at 81% good to excellent. That's also up 3 percentage points in a week. So things not looking bad from the field. How about the look of the markets on a Tuesday morning? Up next, John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, joins us.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. You may have filled out a U.S. Census questionnaire which promised to keep your individual data private. There's concern the Trump administration or Congress may add a question about your citizenship in the 2030 census. Would you answer it? Since 1790, the U.S. has counted the, quote, whole number of free persons, not just citizens. The census has always promised anonymity to get accurate answers, and that data informs important decisions on everything from road construction to education policy to voting districts. The first Trump administration tried to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census, but it was struck down by the Supreme Court. Trump later issued an executive order entitled Executive Order on Collecting Information About Citizenship Status in Connection with the Decennial Census, a precursor to possibly not counting the whole population, but just citizens. The Biden administration rescinded it, but Trump rolled back Biden's order in January. If a citizenship question were to be added in the 2030 census, a study released in March found it would likely depress response to the questionnaire, particularly among Hispanics. Add in Trump's recent orders allowing the sharing of personal information from federal agencies with DOJ, ICE, and state agencies, the effect on the census would impact policies and congressional voting districts for years to come. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
Maggie Dawn.
I'll be slinging drinks at a charity bartending event, but don't worry, you'll be in good hands with special host Angela Lang, joined by Dan Schaefer and Matt Rothschild. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
77-79, I get to talk to John right now. All right, my friend, instead of talking about crops, which we know for the most part are not at all influenced by the weather, let's talk a little bit about cattle. That is still red hot, and it doesn't look like it's going to yield anytime soon. What's going on out there, though, John? Our supply situation has not changed as far as domestic animals. What's going on?
Yeah, the cattle market continues to be red hot, led by the cash market, reflecting those tight cattle supplies that are out there across the nation. And we had cash trade last week, up here in the north at 240, a little bit higher at about 242 in a couple spots. Just to put that in perspective, I mean, that is an all-time record high by a large amount in terms of the cattle prices that the producers are getting in that regard. And that has just been something that continues to lift this market higher and again provide support underneath this market is that strong cash market. You know, and the flip side, kind of staying with that, the retail side in terms of what the packer gets in terms of when they sell the carcass to the whole to the meat plant or to the grocery store, that's also a change price in that record highs, $360+ on a choice carcass, you know, and that's what's reflected into that retail beef price that we see at the counter. So this cattle market, just because those tight supplies continues in terms of cattle, continues to be red hot at this time frame. Not seeing a peak yet, but maybe we're getting close to just a psychological type high. We'll have to see. One of the factors, though, that we're really watching, as you mentioned, the supply side of the equation, at least in terms of meat that's out there, we have become very big importers in terms of beef from Brazil and Australia, record levels of beef coming in from those two countries. Now, where's that coming into play? That is lower quality beef than that we produce here in terms of the cattle that we're running through into the packers. So that goes into the trim, the ground beef, things of that nature. And that's one of the reasons why you see ground beef prices kind of been holding relatively steady, even though we're seeing beef prices overall being stronger. Is the fact that cheaper, lower quality import beef is brought in and turned into the hamburger that we see in the grocery store.
It just amazes me that we can bring beef from that far away and still make margins like we are.
Yeah, it is. And again, it comes down to the quality side of it. It comes down to just to the demand side of it. You know, beef demand, and everybody kept saying, oh, it's going to fall off the table. The consumer's going to step aside from beef, you know, because of the high prices. And they just haven't. You know, hamburger demand continues to be very strong. Obviously, we're in the summer months now. So the grilling demand is here at this time frame, and people just like eating beef. And that's something that is maybe kind of outlasted what the market thought it would do given the price factor. Now, there's a lot of things that can happen in the next month or two in terms of the economy and the consumer. You know, if things really start getting tight, and in some areas they are getting tight, you know, we're going to see that trickle into the beef market first because of the cost of that product, especially when it competes against pork and chicken.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask you. Are we seeing any other protein capitalize on this surge in pricing?
You know, we've seen the jump over in the hog market as well in terms of the carcass value and the retail value of that product. And again, I think that is just a shift in the demand. Again, we don't talk so much about hog numbers, but hog numbers aren't exactly, you know, blowing out the top here either. You know, with some of the situations in terms of agriculture, the cost of inputs, things of that nature, you know, hog numbers are a little bit on the tighter side, still a lot better than the beef picture. But we've seen a nice move in those retail carcasses here the last couple of weeks, again, as we hit the summer window and we're starting to see maybe some of that shift instead of a steak turning into a pork chop hitting that grill.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live here on the Midwest Farm Report. Again, their website, totalfarmmarketing.com. And if you want to talk to John, he's happy to. 800-334-9779. All right, let's move from that protein to what's happening in the fields, John. I mentioned at the outset, not really many issues that we can point to as far as growing conditions for Wisconsin crops. Anything change anywhere else?
You know, realistically, the crops are starting to look in pretty good shape. We still got about 10% of the beans to get in, so that'll be something the market will watch, you know, going into the next week or so here as we're in June now. Crop ratings jumped 2% in terms of good to excellent on corn. Bean ratings are still down a touch, but beans are tough. They seem to have a tendency to get caught up really quickly if the weather turns, and that's the biggest thing right now. The weather forecast, we're talking maybe some dryness coming in. That seemed to disappear over the weekend, and that was one of the things that just was reflected in yesterday's strong selling pressure in the grain markets, was just the fact that crops are good. We got big supplies out of South America, and looks like the U.S. crop's going to be off to a good start here overall. And the sellers just continue to push these grain prices lower, especially that corn market, again, putting new lows in on the July contract here again this morning.
Yeah, right. And what about the harvest? In some areas of the United States, it's already begun. I had a story on about how the winter wheat caravan has begun harvesting down in the Texas, Oklahoma area, and they're delayed because of rain. They have been living with drought for almost a decade. Now they're delayed because of rain.
Yeah, you know, the current weather patterns are putting a lot of moisture through the southern part of the United States. And, you know, that is something really could turn friendly for the wheat market, that especially the hard red winter wheat. If that rain continues, obviously it slows harvest, but it impacts quality of that wheat as they're harvesting. And then that could tighten up some supplies in terms of good quality wheat, because that HRW wheat or hard red winter wheat is the wheat that goes into a lot of bread making and that type of flour. You know, so that's something we'll have to kind of watch down the road is the weather forecast there and how quickly they get that wheat harvest out with all this precipitation that they're forecasted for in that region.
All right. You know what? I'm going to let it go on that because John is trying to get himself cleaned up, get that desk cleared off, heading for, what'd you say, Minnesota for fishing next week?
Yep, we're heading up to a little town called Vargas, Minnesota, to hopefully catch some walleyes next week.
And that's tournament action, is that correct?
No, just regular fishing, just me and my daughter, as well as my brother and his family.
All right, my friend. Well, you deserve it. Enjoy it. We'll catch up with you when you get back.
Sounds great. Have a good week, everyone. Talk to you soon.
All right, John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing in West Bend, joining us live on the Midwest Farm Report again. 800-334-9779 if you want to talk to John. Do it!
This is the Midwest Farm.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow human some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Dairy farms are caught in the middle of an immigration problem. Up next on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community. And while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers.
The thing we have to keep in mind is that if we don't have immigrant labor on our dairy farms, we don't milk our cows. It's really that simple.
That's Vermont Senator Peter Welch talking about the Trump administration's move to enforce U.S. immigration law.
This is a separate question from the legitimate border questions, you know, a secure border, deporting people who commit serious crimes. We can agree on that, but we have got to have some pathway so that our farms can get access to the labor they need. And talking about local people working on those farms, it just doesn't work out.
In recent years, U.S. dairy farms have relied heavily on immigrant workers. The crackdown, says Welch, is putting dairy operators in a bind.
There's an immense amount of politics, of course, in the immigration issue. But on this question of farm labor, I see a lot of Democratic and Republican unity, but we're going to be dependent on the president saying, hey, we've got to get a fix for our farms so they can milk the cows. And if he did that, I know we could get it passed.
Welch offered no details on any plans for a legislative fix to that particular immigration problem. He made the comments in a recent edition of the Dairy Defined podcast from the National Milk Producers Federation. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on this show, he hosts the Todd Alba Show, appropriately named from 2 to 4 across the network. Todd Alba joins us after 9:30. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. June is pollinator month, and some Wisconsin lawmakers have introduced a package of bills to protect our bees, butterflies, and other insects. The bills would prevent the DNR from using a class of pesticides called neonicotinoids, which are known to harm pollinators. It would also prevent retailers from labeling plants as pollinator-friendly if they've been treated with high levels of pesticides. Great Lakes fisheries could struggle under budget cuts. President Trump is pushing Congress to eliminate the entire biological research program at the U.S. Geological Survey. The ecosystem mission area monitors and conducts research on fish and wildlife populations in the Great Lakes and beyond. If passed, federal wildlife and fisheries research centers across Wisconsin would be shuttered. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues across the state, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Verbal blasting back and forth between President Trump and California Governor Gavin Newsom, among several Democrats angry at the president, sending hundreds of Marines and thousands of National Guard troops to protests of immigration raids in Los Angeles. The president.
I think it would have been a very bad situation. It was heading in the wrong direction. It's now heading in the right direction.
Referencing talk by some officials of arresting Gavin Newsom for trying to obstruct law enforcement, the California governor.
Just get it over with. Arrest me. Move on.
Governor on the Midas Touch podcast. The L.A. protests spreading, demonstrations last night in Dallas and Austin, Texas. Few details so far of several people killed at a school in the Austrian city of Graz today, says the Interior Ministry. Several dead and injured, but they say that the gunman is dead. Firing every member of a scientific committee that advises the CDC on vaccines, Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is ABC News.